Hello, everyone. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week, and we're here again with our weekly podcast. Today, we're talking about trade compliance and hot topics in import-export law. Joining me is Doug Jacobson. He is a partner in the law firm of Sandler, Travis & Rosenberg in Washington, D.C. Doug is also editor of Trade Blog, the International Trade Law News, about trade law compliance, and he is also just back from the annual conference of the International Compliance Professionals Association, which met in Los Angeles earlier this week. So, Doug, thanks for joining me today.
You're most welcome, Matt.
Now, I guess I wanted to ask a first question here of what was the general sense at the conference of how enforcement of trade compliance and import-export law might change under the Obama administration? There's already a lot of other people in a lot of other compliance fields kind of worried that we're going to see more aggressive enforcement. What do you think we're going to see, particularly in trade compliance?
Well, the interesting thing is the stage has already been set for a dramatic increase in the enforcement of both the on the customs side, on the inbound, on the import side, and also on the export side. Mm-hmm. The prior administration, as a result of the high profile, for example, the Chinese on Chinese lead toys, lead paint and toys, and those types of things have already led to a lot of increased regulations. And particularly, of course, the Congress is still in the process of implementing many of the changes that have arisen as a result of national security and, of course, arising from September 11th. So the general sense is that certainly import and export enforcement is only going to increase. The penalties are increasing and have increased, and certainly there's going to be, I think the general feeling is enhanced regulation under the new administration.
Mm-hmm. Now, are we going to see any specific hot-button issues that might be different, whether or not we might see, trade restrictions loosened against a particular nation or tightened against a nation, or are we going to see any particular type of enforcement activity that might be of more interest to prosecutors right now than before?
Well, that's actually, again, that's at the conference, at the ICPA conference, it's certainly one of the leading topics. And I think we're kind of in the mode right now where it's certainly a wait and see, particularly on the on both on the import side and on the export side. Certainly the senior policy officials in both agencies have not even been nominated yet. So, for example, there hasn't been a new commissioner of customs nominated yet. There hasn't been an undersecretary for export administration nominated yet. So as far as big changes go, right now I think that probably we're kind of in a wait-and-see mode. But as far as the particular, let's say, obviously everybody's there's been a lot of speculation with respect to Cuba.
Yep.
The recent omnibus trade bill that passed this week in Congress had some Cuba provisions, but it's very uncertain as to how those are going to be enforced and how those are going to be changed. Mm-hmm. Of course, on the embargoed countries, Iran, Sudan certainly is foremost on many exporters' mind because of the concern of diversion of products. There's been an enhanced crackdown on exports and re-exports on violations with respect to goods getting to those countries, and most of the times through third countries such as the United Arab Emirates.
Yep.
And so there has been a concern there as far as a focus on diversion points as well.
Well, actually, let me ask another question then. Do you think a lot of companies fully understand when they might stumble into a trade compliance violation, whether they are shipping something to one country and it winds up in the hands of somebody else that the government here would not want to receive it? Or, we have now global supply chains that get very integrated, and it can be very difficult to understand exactly who you're dealing with on the other side.
Absolutely, and that's really where it comes down to know your customer and know your and ensuring that companies have a process in place in order to evaluate and address red flags.
Mm-hmm.
So trade compliance, like other types of compliance, really has to be a holistic approach where everybody who's involved from the sales to the shipping have to be involved and have to be educated on the importance of trade compliance and have the ability to recognize potential risks if they are identified.
Yeah. Are there any particular nations that are troublesome or more troublesome than some of the other ones out there? I know a lot of our customer, our readers would think it's easy to stay away from Cuba or Iran, but you're in it in China. Everybody has to do business there, but you don't necessarily know what's a state company and what's a military company, what's a private company. How many nations out there do you have to deal with, but yet it can be very difficult to understand who you are dealing with?
Absolutely. I mean, Mexico is a good example, and Cuba, because, for example, it's very common. Certainly, Mexico and Cuba don't have the same restrictions. Sorry, Mexico and Canada don't have the same restrictions that the United States does on Cuba, and so as a result, it's very common for companies to unknowingly have a diverted shipment end up in Cuba. They may not even know because either they're using a third-party affiliate or sometimes even an affiliated subsidiary, for example, may inadvertently export U.S. origin goods to those countries. And I'm involved in several enforcement cases right now at OFAC and at the Bureau of Industry and Security at the Commerce Department in which we are my clients have been either made a voluntary disclosure or are subject to a charging letter with respect to diverted goods. The same is true with respect to the United Arab Emirates. That's been the number one very well-known diversion point, particularly the Jebel Ali Free Trade Zone in Dubai. And that's a big, so that's, for example, a very common red flag is if you have a shipment going to the Jebel Ali Free Trade Zone, then you better know a little bit more about who that's going to because there may be a high probability that it maybe just goes straight across the Straits of Hormuz in a small boat and end up in Iran.
Mm-hmm. Now, in trying to implement a good compliance program, how easy or difficult can it be for a compliance officer to, I guess, manage trade compliance along with all of the other compliance obligations they have? We have all sorts of consultants telling us you should try and have one or two controls that solve multiple problems or track multiple things and try and make sure you're as streamlined as possible. I mean, is it easy to integrate trade compliance into an overall legal and corporate compliance program you have?
Well, again, depends on the company. Obviously, certain companies are more complex and certainly the more locations. And certainly you have to evaluate. I mean, what I would do, first of all, you have to assess the risk like anything else. Obviously, companies need to know what products they are dealing with. Are their products subject to dual-use export controls? Are they subject to, for example, the military or defense controls in the International Traffic and Arms Regulations? And many companies unknowingly, for example, may be a subcontractor to a military contract, and they may not even know their compliance risks. So number one, it's knowing your product. Number two, it really is evaluating and coordinating the whole supply chain, assessing your risks as far as, where the problems may arise in the overall supply chain. I'm often asked the question, well, where should trade compliance be? As far as that function being a company, oftentimes I see, and I think historically, it's been in the supply chain or in transportation or in logistics. Mm-hmm. But I think clearly it needs to be in legal or have a direct report to legal or indirect report at least. And certainly in a company with a chief compliance officer, certainly the trade compliance staff have to have a direct report to the chief compliance officer because there are so many issues that have to be resolved. And the export compliance manager or director whomever needs to have, they need to be in a position where they can say no in the event that there may be a problem or the event that there's needs to say, let's put this on hold, let's evaluate, let's determine whether there are any problems. And then in most of the time, once the red flags are identified and the due diligence takes place, then typically the shipment can take place. The other thing in trade compliance, which is very useful in compared to a lot of other areas, is that trade compliance can be done. Automation is very important. So, for example, just screening potential parties, screening customers, screening end users, screening ship-to addresses, that can actually is a very easy way to avoid many of the potential concerns, particularly as companies get larger. So many companies, and it's really now considered to be a best practice to have trade compliance or restricted party screening as part of a trade compliance program.
Okay. Well, Doug, that is all the time we have for today to discuss this, but thanks for sharing your thoughts. It's been very informative, and I really appreciate it.
All right, you're most welcome, Matt.
All right. And again, everyone, our guest today has been Doug Jacobson. He is a partner at the law firm of Sandler, Travis & Rosenberg. And he's been talking about trade compliance issues with us. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week, and that's all for this week's podcast. Take care, have a good day, and we will see you next week.